If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we praise you for your Holy Spirit who caused these words to be written. And we ask as we think about them together for a moment that your Holy Spirit would write them into our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what a reading. I'm believing that there isn't a person here who doesn't know it very well. On Christmas Day, Tom was asking us to think about the part we would choose to be in a nativity, and we all chose I was a shepherd. I don't know what you were if you were here or what you would have been. And he beautifully took us to John 1, where none of those characters appear. John takes us straight to Jesus. As we look at this nativity account, we will see the reading doing the same thing, taking us to Jesus. I wonder why these stories, particularly the story of the Magi or the wise men or the shepherds, continue to have such power. I can't think there is a single child in any primary school in this country this year who, whatever else has happened to them this Christmas time, has heard about the shepherds and the Magi. And I wonder, as you have probably heard it many, many, many times, have you ever thought to yourself, why does this work? Why do I keep listening to this? What is it that is drawing me in to this kind of beautiful episode as Matthew's gospel begins? Is it the star? There's one on the top of every Christmas tree, I'm imagining. The mystery, the people from the east, camels and deserts and journeys. Is it King Herod? The minefield, the treachery, the murder that is so close at hand. Is it the giving of gifts? The meeting, as the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and laid her gifts before the king. These magi come and lay gifts that would be given to a king. It's Christian tradition, I have to tell you, here's a tiny little bit of a spoiler, that says on the basis of the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, that there are three of them and that they were kings. But Matthew simply tells us that they were magi, a term used to describe Persian astrologers, people from Iran. Many cultures looking to the heavens in antiquity and now, trying to understand what on earth is going on the earth. And is it maybe the mystery and power of this story that such unlikely people God should make himself known to and draw to the birth of this child? Do you ever wonder as you listen to it, or do you ever want to ask some questions of it? But you think, well, it's so beautiful and it's so well known that you can't ask anything. If you read on in Matthew chapter 2, you will realize that the threat of murder becomes real. Joseph and Mary are removed into Egypt, and because Herod, who, by the way, was appalling, he murdered wives and his own children. So a few under twos in Bethlehem would not cause him to lose any sleep if there was a threat to him. And you might want to ask, Lord, if you could move the stars in the heavens to lead the Magi, couldn't you remove Herod? And if you could speak to the Magi in a dream so that they didn't go back, where if they had gone back, almost certainly they would have died, so that there were no traces left of the inquiry, as Jesus himself would have been killed. Did the parents in Bethlehem get that chance? What about their dreams? And if magi are okay about looking at stars, then what's wrong with horoscopes, tarot cards, and all the rest of the stuff that goes around these days? Let me say it's good to ask questions of the scripture. The magi arrived at Bethlehem because they asked questions, because they were stirred up by something in the heavens that didn't make sense to them. And they were curious, and their curiosity was something the Holy Spirit worked on to bring them. The astronomers, I'm not a scientist or an astronomer, they tell you that it's possible, no one knows for sure, of course, that there was a correlation of Jupiter and Saturn around about this time, which would account for the brightness of a star in the sky at that moment. The Magi go to Herod, the king, to Jerusalem, putting their heads in a noose. But God uses the question. God brings the disturbance to Jerusalem in order to bring them to the place that they are looking for, that they don't know about. And it's amazing that God does it. When did we last? I don't know when I even last saw the stars in Manchester. The weather has been so terrible. But when did we look and inquire and wonder and let God speak to us from the universe and the heavens. Because the thing about loving the story, whichever part of it, and the thing about asking questions of the story is to let God answer us and speak to us. There are some people who love just to ask the questions. This is maybe me being a bit unfair, but when I was a kid, as a new Christian at my secondary school, there was a fair amount of kids showing off in order to kind of trap you and trip you up in the questions they asked. But if we're serious about asking questions which are not simply about showing off or about rubbishing you, God will answer. Jesus said, ask and you will seek and you will find. Ask and the door will be opened. So what are we going to make of this scripture as we go into 2024? We have got plenty of contemporary equivalents of Herod around the world. Cultures from East and West, that is beautifully demonstrated in our church here at St. Clement's, means that cultures from East and West are more familiar, not completely. It's very simple. There's nothing new, really, or dramatic, but just let the scripture work on us again in its beauty and in its truth and in its glory, taking us to the Lord Jesus. The story works by taking us to him in every verse. And if we will let our lives be shaped by him, we will fall down before him. And he, never mind the stars, they will help us as they point us to him. He will take us into the future. So if we go back to the story, and if you've got your Bible, you want to just have a look through, just see how he is. Jesus, this child, this tiny child who says nothing in these verses actually, but is speaking to us all the way through them, because it's his birth. He's born, we're given a place, we're given a time. It was calculated by their way of doing it, not by the modern way. We have his role. He is described from the outset as the king. That has been revealed to these magi. Did you notice that the star is described as his star? Did you know when you look up into the heavens, Jesus owns the stars? It's his scripture, the scripture that speaks of a Messiah, that the scribes quoting from Micah chapter 5, who prophesies about Bethlehem in Judea. And they slip in 2 Samuel 5, which mentions the shepherd role of the king. It's a threat to him, to Jesus. Herod is determined to destroy him. There is deceit and danger entwined. There is hostility to Jesus right from the outset. As we go into 2024, let's not be astonished by it. It has been there from the beginning. And it's his treasure. The gold and the frankincense and myrrh are given to him. They belong to him. And Mary doesn't say, oh, no, don't. You shouldn't be. You shouldn't go into so much trouble. Something even in Mary and Joseph is recognizing that there is a fittingness. God is in this. What they did with the gifts, we're not told. This child who may still be in his mother's arms, not yet able to walk, we don't know. And God is saying to us, as we come into 2024, I have come. I've come here, in this place, and at this time, and I'm going to call the whole world to worship and know me, and to see me in this baby. And evil can do its worst, and it will make no difference to me. I have come. I am here. What are you going to do? So what will we do, friends, as we come into 2024? Two things. If you've not yet given him your worship, and that word that's used throughout these verses actually is that you could translate it as homage, like at the coronation, you do homage to the king, which means literally you lay down your life. You are at the disposal of, you bind yourself to his service and command. If you've not done that yet, keep searching like the Magi. If the scripture is unknown to you, look at the stars. Look at the creation. Look at an infant child in arms and wonder at the miracle of God's gift of life. Maybe look at mathematics or music or the mountains. Search. Jesus said that if you do, you'll find, like the Magi did. C.S. Lewis, who you may know, he searched through the ancient stories. He was a professor of English literature. I read of a journalist who was an atheist and activist, Paul Kingsworth, I can send you an essay if you're interested, who became a Christian after the Buddhism, occultism, he tried everything. But actually he went back to nature and then he found Christ. And he can't believe it, because he was brought up to believe it, all his fairy stories. And he realized it's not, it's true. Ask. God can handle your toughest questions. Magi asked for directions. The prophets and the psalmists asked for more. If you want to ask the question about the suffering of the innocent as Job did, you might listen to what God might be saying back to you. Do you want me to make you as automatons? Do you want me to stop you every time you want to do something evil? Is that the world that you wanted, or do you want me to destroy you because you're messing up my creation so badly? Won't you look at the one I have sent to save you? Won't you come to the one who has borne the judgment that is awaiting Herod? Don't ever think that tyrants like that then or now can ignore my commandments, who think that they can treat children like disposable whatever and simply never be brought to account. We do not live in a morally neutral universe. We live in a universe in which we will give an account, all of us. But God doesn't want our destruction, and he wants our freedom, as we're going to hear from Galatians later on in the year. Jesus, as we will hear and have heard, we'll be coming to the Lord's Supper. He is the one who, as a young man, not as an innocent child, but as an innocent, bore our judgment and died in our place, that we would not bear that judgment ourselves. Search until you find. And today might be a good day to do it, if you feel I need to put myself in his hands. Actually, I need to stop pretending that God isn't speaking to me. I need to acknowledge that I'm playing games, or not necessarily playing games, or I'm just, I now is, it may not be the time, you may keep going, if it is, don't be pressured, but if today is the day, then yield, come as people come for communion and ask for a blessing, because you know that you want to give your life to Jesus, who gave his life for you. But if you know him already, you've come like the Magi, you've begun to know the exceeding great joy that they speak about, and you have begun in the laying down of your life. You brought your treasures, you brought your gifts. Let today be a day, as we're going into the new year, a day of consecration, a day of coming, a day of falling down, a day of offering him again your homage, your life. Sometimes when I feel God really calling me into this, needing to do this, and I certainly myself feel this to do it, I feel like I need to do a spiritual checklist. I need to go through my head and my mouth and my eyes and my ears and my whole body, just go right through as you lay yourself down before the Lord and you say, Lord, you have given this to me. It is all yours. And if there's anything in any part where you think this isn't quite as it should be, let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit, let the child who has come to the cross, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Kings, he wants our worship. He delights in our worship. And he, when we realize maybe that the greatest treasure of all is the life that he has given us, if we give it to him, he will shape us and he will give us and he will remake us. It was Nicodemus, the older man who knew he had to be born again. He's the one who brought myrrh and put it in Jesus' tomb as they laid him in the tomb. And he knew the Holy Spirit bringing him into new birth. Not only the forgiveness of sins, that was essential, but the new life. We don't know, we're not told in Matthew what happened to the Magi. We know they got home safely, praise God. But I think Matthew doesn't tell us because he wants us to ask for ourselves and to find out what Jesus is going to do in our lives. And you need to read on in the Gospel of Matthew. You need to read on into what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. You need to read on until we get to his cross and his death. And you read right on to the end, and what do you find? The resurrected Lord sending his friends. He talked about them worship, but still some doubting. Even at the end of the Gospel, it's so honest. But he says, go into the world. The Magi came to me from the east. You go everywhere and you tell them about me. You baptize, you teach. And all authority in heaven and on earth, the stars and the earth, the children, have been given to me. And I'm giving my authority to you. And I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples of kings and of children and of everyone, from Iran to Hong Kong to China to every continent on the earth. And I am with you to the end of the age. So as we come to the Lord's table, I'm going to invite those of you who are searching to search still, please, please. I'm going to invite us who have come to consecrate ourselves, and I'm going to use a prayer, a beautiful prayer that is used, and particularly from the Methodist Church, that I think was known and used by the Wesleys. It's the prayer of consecration, and I'm going to say it now as we come to an end, and then the band are going to lead us in a most beautiful song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And that's what we're going to do as we come to the end of 2023 and to the beginning of 2024. And like the Magi, we receive the exceeding great joy of when we come to worship the one whom God has sent for us. to save us and the world. This prayer. I'm no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. And I'm sure if the stars were allowed to say it, they would say, Amen.